Welcome to Listening with Leaders. I'm Doug Knoll, lawyer turned peacemaker. I teach executive leaders how to listen to emotions rather than words so that they can become the leaders everyone wants to follow. And I teach those same leaders how to be authentically present, available, and connected to their families, despite being insanely busy. I have learned that we are 98% emotional and only 2% rational. Learning how to listen to emotions is, in my experience, the foundational skill of life. Stick around to the end of the show, and I'll reveal how you can be on our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. So let's get started. So, Justin Breen, you're the founder of Breepick LLC, which can be found at breepickllc.com. Let me spell that out for people. BREPICLLC.com. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate it.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and about Breepick, what you do, just to get started.
Yeah. So most of my days talking to the world's top visionaries. So not humans, not consultants, not business owners, just top visionaries. And they're endless ideators. And then I hear blah, 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 and then simplify it into a pattern or an answer. So it's just kind of fun to do that all day. And then I was a journalist for 20 years, created entire first company based on how PR firms annoyed me for 20 years. And then second company annoyed by PR or annoyed by platforms that let everyone in. So my partner and I created LinkedIn without the BS, invite only connectivity platform.
Okay. And so you, how do you define a visionary?
It's a fair question. It's a fair question. So visionaries see beyond what a human would see. The best way I've found to actually see in terms of a number perspective is their Kolbe, K-O-L-B-E. It's not how your personality is. I don't really care what someone's personality is. It's how your brain takes action. And the overwhelming majority of visionaries are 8, 9, or 10 quick start. 10 is the highest. And then most of them have little to no follow through. So think ADHD, diagnosed or undiagnosed. It's not a disorder. It's a sign of genius mislabeled by humans. And then I'm a very, 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 very rare visionary that has high quick start and high follow through. So say it, do it, say it, do it, say it, do it. And then there certainly are exceptions, but most humans, most small business owners, they're lower quick start with higher follow through, because that would make sense, because visionaries need people to follow through for them.
So I think I've met people like this. These are people who have a lot of ideas, but they're not necessarily able to execute on those ideas.
That is correct. Yeah.
And so they may be brilliant, but unless they surround themselves with people who can take their ideas and concretize them and manifest them, they go nowhere.
Someone like that without you has a problem.
Okay. Yeah. And I take it what you do, you help those people concretize their ideas into stories that they can share with people to attract investors and customers and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So that was an Ivy League. That was an Ivy League definition of what my firms do. I appreciate that. I just hear blah, 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 and then simplify into a message that people actually understand. And then connection to media. And then your IQ is, I'm guessing, very high. 140 and above is genius. That's 1% of the population. Most people I talk to are 140 and above. Talk to a lot of folks, 150, 160, 170. And then I'm 139. So literally a bridge between genius and humans. So.
Yeah, I have to admit, I am Ivy League educated. I went to Dartmouth College, so right. and law school and a master's degree. So I'm probably overeducated for who I am. So what is it?
You said that, I didn't.
It's probably true. What is it about your work that you really love?
Well, most people are miserable in life because they're doing something 8 to 10 hours a day that they don't like to do or are not good at. So that's most of society. And then the really sad thing is when people actually find out what they like to do and what they're good at, and they don't do anything about it. So the purpose of my life is to be a connecting superhero for every visionary, not business owner, not human, not consultant, just visionary who shares their stories with the world their world people, they bore me. So I literally, besides hanging out with my family, all of my day is in the purpose of my life. So I don't like doing it. I love doing it. And it's why I'm here. So
it's just for you, it's really exciting to talk to very, very smart people with big ideas. And you get to do that all day long and get paid for it.
All day long. Well, that again, so that's not an Ivy League description. That was a humanistic one, but that's interesting. You can relate in both.
I was a trial lawyer for 22 years. You got to be able to move in both worlds.
Well, trial lawyer in 8723 Colby, that's a perfect Colby for a trial lawyer. That's perfect because you can take all this information and then.
Right. I synthesize information very quickly.
Yep. So if you combined you and a visionary, it would be me. So I can make up the ideas.
There you go. Okay. So you've already touched on it, but you think that what makes you able to do what you do is the fact that you're kind of in that right on the edge. You said you had a 139 IQ. So I would say that's pretty smart.
Not compared to the people I talk to in that, but yes, it's smart compared to average human.
Yeah. So you're smart enough to hang around with really smart people. They don't bore you but you can help them connect to real humans through stories and.
Great question. Real humans, but mostly we just connect visionaries to visionaries.
There
are very few connections to real humans. So that is some deep thinking stuff right there. So again, was a journalist for 20 years, created an entire business based on how PR firms annoyed me for 20 years. So I actually don't know what PR firms do. I'd never understood it. People annoyed me when I was a journalist. And so there are some exceptions, but most of the connections now my firm does is think of it as like a 9 quick start. There are exceptions, but like a 9 quick start with a story meets a 9 quick start with a platform, with a podcast or a show or a speaking type thing. So it's actually mostly connecting visionaries to visionaries because I only serve visionaries.
Got it. Yeah. How do you monetize that? People are members and they just sign up for a membership or?
For PR companies pay firm per story generation.
Okay.
And then for the second company, that will be a yearly membership.
Got it. Interesting. Well, tell me, let's shift to, I've never met anybody quite like you before. Interesting stuff.
Multiple times a day.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Yep. Because it's true. You're unusual.
Well, the key to life. So most people, they're conformists. And I don't understand that.
Yeah, it is a problem. I think there are a lot of contributing factors to that, to the people being conformists. But when you're out on your own like you are, it's definitely a different journey. Tell me about let's move into the topics that are sort of intrigue me, which is let's start with listening. How important is listening in your business?
Yeah, so that's a great question. The only time I really do any talking is in formats like this because people like you are asking me questions, which I'm grateful for. But as a journalist, that's what it is. It's listening. And I would much rather listen to a visionary talk and then synthesize the information than be the one doing the talking. I can do both, but I'd rather be the one listening. And it's very interesting because you teach leadership empathy. You teach leadership empathy on StrengthFinders, Gallup's Clifton StrengthFinders. I am 34 out of 34 in empathy, dead last. However, for visionaries, top visionaries on the planet, I have endless empathy, endless wanting to understand and endless willing to listen. If I'm bored with a conversation, I will stop listening because I just don't care.
So the visionaries are people that are so intriguing to you that you love listening to them. But if it's somebody else, you more often than not will be bored to death and just
bored out of my mind.
Bored out of your mind. So the secret for you.
That's most visionaries, by the way.
Right. Okay. I get
all,
that.
Wait. That's all visionaries.
Right. They get bored really quickly and really easily. If people are not talking at their level or at their
correct.
And so that's, is, does that pose challenges for you in your personal life?
No.
Oh, good. And why is that?
Because I don't care. No, well, let me tell you what happens. So not always. And again, my brain turns everything into patterns,
right.
Everything. Usually people like me, not always, but usually people like me marry stabilizing humans. So okay. My wife is a pediatrician. She's an 8742 Colby, very similar to yours.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably one in empathy. I'm second to last in Includer on StrengthFinder. She's probably one or two in that. And then so before our children are 10 and 8. And so before parent teacher conferences, she says three words to me. Don't say anything. So I just sit there. I just sit there. Don't say anything. And then because it, you know, our kids are both 9 quick start visionaries and they're 8 and 10. So like they can learn whatever they want in school. It's fine. But then I teach them how entrepreneur real world works. So that's it's really good mix. But you seek what you need to heal. So I have found collaborative empathy in my life. So like partner for second company, he's competition one, maximizer two. So he's going to win big at the highest level, but he's empathy three. So I've just found collaborative empathy in my life. But no, for the most part, I don't like you, most people are afraid to like, I'm not trying to offend people, but it's just like, this is just who I am. And so if I don't have tolerance for it, I don't have tolerance for it.
Exactly. Empathy. I have a very precise definition of empathy. I don't know whether it's
say it. I want to hear this.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. Empathy is it's a learned ability. It's not intuitive or innovative. And it is the ability to read, assimilate, interpret, and reflect back the emotions of another person.
100%.
From their frame of correct. Reference. That's yes. What empathy is.
So I have endless empathy for visionaries because I know almost without exception what it takes to become a visionary. And then in StrengthFinders, I'm 7th in relator. I think I'm 7th. So I can relate. I understand. And so here's, you ask about visionaries, how to spot them. So here, this is what a true visionary is. And again, all I do is talk to visionaries all day. So entrepreneur visionaries, they are the most damaged people, the most damaged with the best coping skills. So the most damaged with the highest IQ, highest EQ, most guts. That's what separates entrepreneurs from humans. So I've not met one visionary, not one that hasn't overcome at least one of the following four things. Most are actually three or four now. I haven't talked to one. I've talked to two in the last year that are less than three of these four. Okay, so this is what separates visionaries from humans, consultants, business owners. One is bankruptcy or potential bankruptcy, two, depression, three, highest level of anxiety that you can imagine, and four, likely and or possible traumatic experiences as a child or young adult. So for humans, consultants, business owners, those are excuses. Entrepreneur at the highest level, figure it out. That's what life actually is.
My experience has been that a lot of people, especially entrepreneurs who have created a lot of financial wealth, I mean, they've been really successful, turn out to be pretty miserable in their personal life.
100%. That's why I wrote the second book, How to Build Collaborative Global Companies While Putting Your Loved Ones First. So what I see is entrepreneurs are, because talk is meaningless to me. It's here's the answer. So do something about it.
And so what is your answer?
Well, one is marry a stabilizing human. That's
okay. That helps.
Well, that's usually people like me marry a school teacher, nurse, social worker, pediatrician, a lawyer. Like my wife's like, you have to say thank you to people. I'm like, okay, thank you for telling me that. And so, and then two, one of the chapters in the book that I'll always go back to is winning the wrong game. So the folks that you're talking about that have all this quote unquote success, and in the process, they've torched their families or never had a family or never had anything meaningful.
That's
and
right.
I talk to one to two people every single week that have let entrepreneur life destroy their family life or prevented them from anything meaningful. That's a bad idea. So winning the wrong game, and these are smart people, right? They're smart.
Right. They just don't know any better.
Yeah, they don't know. Well, that's the point. So if you ask yourself, what game am I actually winning? Then you'll know better.
They're
smart enough to change. They just don't even, they're not even aware.
Right. And so, as you know, I teach leadership empathy. And part of the reason I do that is because I can take these people that are failing in their personal lives and teach them simple skills that will completely change their life.
Yeah.
It's magic to watch.
Right. Yeah. Cause they're smart enough to,
they'll pick it up immediately.
100%.
They've just got to be motivated.
Correct. Yeah. And again, by the way, for whatever it's worth, most of the folks that you're talking to, and if they're not silver spoons, if they started it from
No.
They're probably all nine. They're probably 7, 8, 9, 10 quick starts. Almost all of them.
Right. I have worked with people who inherited wealth, and they have their own set of problems. That's a whole different ballgame. I think it's very interesting that you name those four criteria: bankruptcy, depression,
trauma as a child.
I got trauma as a child. And what was the fourth one?
Oh, I'll do it slower.
Okay.
So bankruptcy or potential bankruptcy.
Got it.
Actually, I'm gonna follow through on my own quick start. So like when I first started the first company, it was almost always ones and twos because they were small business owners or consultants or humans. Now it's all threes and fours.
Uh-huh.
I mean, except for like two people. So bankruptcy or potential bankruptcy, two, depression, three, the highest level of anxiety that you can
imagine. There you go, anxiety.
Four likely and or possible traumatic experiences as a child or young adult.
Right. And what do you think it is? Those are all pretty.
What rough. Are you out of those four? Are you three?
I'm three out of those four.
Yeah, right. Makes sense. What's the one you didn't have?
Bankruptcy.
Bankruptcy. That was
actually, well, anxiety. Yeah, I guess I had anxiety. Definitely trauma as a child. No question about that. Anxiety. Probably depression. Didn't really suffer much depression, or if I did, I wasn't aware of it.
You're like a two and a half.
But let me tell you something. As a child, it was rough. I was born with a whole bunch of disabilities.
Right.
And no emotional, zero emotional support. And
right. So you created empathy. Yeah. So you didn't have what you had. So you created. Yeah. So
It took a while to overcome it, but I did.
Well, you're a two quick start. If you were a nine, it wouldn't have taken as long. But that's what I mean. Like for you, I have endless empathy. I understand. Like I feel it at a very, and sympathy is much different than empathy.
It is nothing.
Sympathizing people. I just don't understand what they're complaining about.
Like, well, sympathy is actually, we shouldn't ever offer sympathy. We should only,
I agree.
we should learn empathy, because when you can be with them empathic with somebody, they feel heard and validated and understood.
100%.
When you express sympathy, you're basically emotionally invalidating them. And so
that's really interesting that you said that. That's interesting that you said that. I was talking to, he's a 160 IQ, full genius. He's one of the top, anti-aging is not the right term, but a longevity space, physicians in the world. I mean, he just is. And he was telling me, because I was telling him I'm dead last in empathy. And he's like, well, actually, you actually have the highest level of empathy because you endlessly want to understand people like me. I'm like, well, thank you for saying that. But that's what it is. Like, I endlessly want to understand it because, one, they're the only people that understand what I'm talking about. Two, when you understand the answer, you can eliminate the non-answer. So I just focus on the answer, and that allows me to hang out with my family as much as I want to, which is what's most important to me.
Yeah, good. That definition of empathy, of understanding others, is useful. But I look for action. How can I teach people how to truly be present with another human being?
Right, because your seven follow through kicked in.
Yeah,
your quick start. It took a while for it to click in, but now you're seven. You'll never stop.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Right. It's a really amazing process.
Right.
So it sounds like you have an interesting home life. You've got a stabilizer for a wife, a pediatrician, obviously highly educated, and she's pretty stable and kind of keeps guardrails around you in social situations.
That's what she tries.
She tries. And you've got, I think I read on your, when you posted to me on LinkedIn that your kids are maniacs. Tell me about them. They're 8 and 10 and they're completely different.
Maniacs. Yeah. And so, by the way, maniac to me is a compliment. And if there's a vacuum in the background, I apologize.
No, I don't hear anything. It's all good.
Okay, good. So the 10-year-old Colby Land, he's a 2296. That's a full pioneer maniac. And then the eight-year-old is a 3297. That's a full pioneer maniac. So
what's a full pioneer maniac? What does that mean?
Well, we'll see what those people that create space stations or asteroid mining. Or one of my friends is somewhat similar, Colby, to my children, and he took a small company and made it into a nine-figure global powerhouse in terms of doing things for NASA and nuclear power and all sorts of. So that's what a pioneer is. They can.
They're way out.
They're way out. Yeah. So that's my children. And like, so the 10-year-old, he just ran a 2101 5K, which most adults could never do.
Wow.
And then the 8-year-old, he wants to be a general in the Army. And I strongly feel I could easily see him going to West Point.
Wow. Huh. It's amazing. So what's it like growing up with kids like that? Or watching those kids grow up?
Endlessly fascinating. Yeah, I mean, the greatest part about being an entrepreneur is seeing the kids, you know, do whatever they want with this, and then they can, I don't know, whatever they do is fine, but then they just get to learn this from day one, basically. I started first company when the oldest was like, how old is he? He was probably like three or four. So they've seen it since they've had a memory, a conscience, and it's very exciting to see what they'll do with it.
Yeah, I bet. It sounds like you've got a heck of a life. Tell me about, I see your two books in the background. Tell me about, I've written four, so you've gotten two. That's pretty good. Tell me about your books.
Well, congrats on doing four. That's awesome. So the first one came out in 2020, right in COVID, and I'm very grateful that Chris Voss, who wrote Never Split the Difference, did the foreword.
Chris wrote the foreword. Okay, good.
For the first one, yeah. I'm very thankful for that. And then that was like how to build a company with zero business background that only partners with visionaries in 2 years. So that was great. And then the newest one, Dr. Peter Diamandis wrote the foreword. I'm very, very grateful for that. He's one of the top entrepreneurs on the planet. And then it's called Epic Life. It's how to build collaborative global companies while putting your loved ones first, which I'm sure you know because you talk to these people all day. Right. It's what people like that want. They just don't know how to do it.
Right. It's just a matter of education. And building the right interpersonal skills, which most people never learn because they grew up in dysfunctional families. And
100%. Most visionaries did, for sure.
Right. And you can only do what you learned. And until you learn something different,
right,
you're going to just continue with the dysfunction in your family.
Exactly.
Okay, one more question. This is I'm looking forward to the answer to this one. What if tell us one thing about yourself that we wouldn't know unless you revealed it to us. I got
well, there's
pup.
So many things. I mean, if you get to know me, I have a pretty decent sense of humor.
Okay. And if we didn't know you, we would see somebody who's very, very intense and
very direct,
very direct and forth. But boy, do I get that, because that I've got that in spades. And I've got to learn how to ratchet it back.
Have you ever done your Strength Finders?
I have, a long time ago.
Where are you in empathy?
I have no idea. It's been at least 15 years since I did a Strength Finders. I got
okay,
the book
so
buried somewhere.
I heard there was a funny story because I forgot exactly what her company was called. I think it was called something like Leading with Empathy. It was something like that.
Yeah.
And she sent me her Strength Finder. She was 27 out of 34 in empathy.
Like didn't have it. Well, this is something I see all over the place. People are teaching stuff that they have no skill in. They have no aptitude.
Can I swear?
You can say whatever you want. I don't care.
It's such bullshit. And I always laugh at. So I always have people send me their Strength Finders. And there are exceptions. There are exceptions. Again, right. My partner's third in empathy. And you're probably pretty high. But so most people like me, they're very low in positivity, harmony, consistency, adaptability, empathy, inclusion. And they teach all this crap. And
right. they're not teaching because they don't know what they're doing.
They're teaching stuff that they think they have, but they don't. And I, so
I'm with you.
So that's why people are like, oh, you have a sense of humor when they get to know me. But this is how I am. Like, you either understand it or you don't. And if right. you understand it, great. If you don't.
Oh, no, I totally get it. And yeah. I completely agree with you. The most people out there, they're teaching these skills really don't have a grounding in science. They don't have a grounding in what really works.
They logic. Don't have a grounding in, the real world. Grounding in logic.
There you go. There you go. And so it's interesting to see how it works. I mean, I worked in maximum security prisons training murderers how to be peacemakers. I mean, you learn a lot. You learn a lot in that environment.
Any with death row?
Pardon me? Well, nobody on death row, but people who are serving life sentences without possibility of parole.
Right.
So, I mean, they're in prison for their life, for the rest
of
their life.
I've been in many max security. I coached, when I was a journalist, I coached a high school all-star basketball team against the offenders.
And it was
max security.
Huh.
And I was, you know, I'm a journalist. So I was talking to them and, you know.
They're interesting people.
Oh, so here's what they are. They're the most damaged people without the best coping skills.
That's exactly correct.
Entrepreneurs are those people with higher IQ, EQ.
Well, that's really interesting. That's a great insight. Thank you for that.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah, it is, because there is no question that every single person I've ever worked with that's been in prison is super traumatized and super damaged.
Super traumatized. And then I've always been fascinated by serial killers. And they've had two commonalities. One is they had some type of mix of mental illness.
Yeah.
That was one. And then two, the worst childhood you could ever imagine.
That's right. Like that's most, exactly correct.
Well, that's what it.
That's
so
exactly correct.
Entrepreneurs have the same type of ingredients, but not the same type of mental illness. And they have a higher IQ or EQ. That's
I wonder how, where do you think that comes from?
Where does what come from?
For the entrepreneurs who have they have the coping skills. They grew up in a horrible environment.
No. You're either born top visionary or you're not. I'm convinced of that.
Okay. So you think it's genetics?
Well, I guess it would be, although usually visionaries are aliens within their own family, community, and vertical. So no, so it might be genetics, but their parents are usually not visionaries.
Right.
So but I guess it was that right sperm or right.
Or it could have been something that happened in their life that turned them around. Somebody said something to them or they read something.
Oh, so there you go. Okay. You know. So we can 7-6 follow through this now. So again, I was a journalist for 20 years and all I do is talk to visionaries. So as a journalist, interviewed top athletes, top musicians, top actors. And then all I do is talk to visionaries now. So there's only two commonalities that I've seen with all those people. Only two. One, they had the same mindset, no excuses, all investment, all action, no excuses, lots of damage, but no excuse, figure it out. Okay, so that's one. Two, and this is what you just said, I'll say it in a different way. They had at least one person, it doesn't have to be a parent, a mentor, it could be a teacher, a coach, they had at least one person believe in them. I have
there you
not
go.
Had one top person that didn't have anyone care about them. That'd be interesting if that happened. I
completely agree with you. And I would say that the difference that helps me understand the difference between the person I'm working with who's serving a life sentence in prison and the people that you work with who are visionaries. The difference is the people in prison never had anybody that believed in them.
That might be true, but they also definitely don't have the IQ and or EQ.
Well, that for most of them, that's true. But there are some I've met some very, very smart people in prison.
I understand that.
But that they're not, but they are in the small minority.
They're in the small minority. But that's what it is. They had the trauma without any coping skills or anyone that cared about them.
That's exactly correct.
Right. So now we're actually discussing what a real entrepreneur actually is, which is way more interesting to me than revenue, office space, employee. I don't care about it.
All right.
Sounds like you don't either, which is great.
Yeah. Well, we've come to the end of the show, Justin. Thank you so much. This has been one of the most interesting, insightful conversations I've had. I really appreciate taking the time out to talk with you.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it.
Doug Knoll here. Thank you so much for listening to Listening with Leaders. If you are a successful executive leader who would like to be on this program, please visit podcast.dougknoll.com/podcast. If you got something out of this interview, would you please share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on the social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag #ListeningWithLeaders. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to my website, DougKnoll.com, or follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. That's @DouglasEKnoll. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next show.